we're going to use these verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3 as a little outline tonight, talking about the power that God gives us, the ability to do not the things on this list, but the ability to honor God with our life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I'm going to say that at the beginning and at the end, there's a reason we should avoid these things in our life. Again, not so we can be ashamed, not so other people can shame us, but because there is a command that Jesus left for us. There's an obligation that we have: unto whomsoever much has been given, of him shall much more be required. And as Christians, as those that are supposed to let our light shine, and we'll talk about it a little bit tonight what that means, but it's not for our own glory, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. That the actions that we take, the things that we decide to do with our energy and our time, have an eternal value, have either an eternal hurt or an eternal help for ourselves and for others. And I want to use this little outline tonight as an introduction, and then talk about the power that we should not deny. In the verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, a closed mind." A lot of times we'll read that verse and we'll think about a sexual sin. We'll think about immorality, and that would apply. But someone that wants pleasure for themselves more than they want to meet the needs of others, closed to others' needs. Many times I've heard the expression, we should be good to everybody because everybody is having a tough time. And sometimes we've turned that into everybody should be good to me because nobody knows how all the tough time I've had. We've lost our focus on others. We're headed down a dangerous path when we do that. We begin to love our own selves more than those around us, more than others' needs. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, "If any man come to me and hate," I'll use those quotes there, "hate not his father and his mother, his wife and his children and brethren and sisters." And of course, if you've ever read this passage where Jesus used that word hate, he was talking about in comparison to our love of Christ, in comparison to our service for Christ. Everybody else in comparison should look like our care is so much that we care so much for Christ that all the others we hate. But there's one other person in that list when he lists the father, mother, wife, children, brethren, and sisters, and then he says, yea, and his own life also. And I'll be honest with you, growing up, I had an older sister. And again, that word hate in quotation marks, but it was not difficult for me sometimes to hate my sister. Not hate, but to say, you know what, my love for others, my love for Jesus compared to my love for my sister. And I'm sure in many of your cases, you have somebody in your family that, you know, that would not be a problem for you to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. And it might look like hate for the rest of them, but then you get down to that part of the verse that says his own life also. And most of the time we have issues with everybody, but nobody should have an issue with us. You know, we think we're doing all right, but we have problems with other people. And Jesus said, and he hate not his father, mother, wife, children, and brethren, and sisters, and his own life also. We should make sure that first one, that we're not lovers of our own selves. That when somebody thinks of us, that our example, our testimony is, well, there's somebody that's full of themselves. There's someone that's obsessed with themselves. That should never be said of a Christian. We're denying the power of God in our life. Covetous. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet, but wanting and desiring what somebody else has, not satisfied with what God has given us, but wanting more, convincing yourself you don't have what you deserve. All that falls under covetousness. And the longest command of the Ten Commandments, all the things that we should not covet, want for ourselves. Boasters, proud. We struggle with this sin because a lot of times people use that word pride and they try to use it in a good way. But if you read the word pride in the Bible, it's never a good thing. Even when God descended like a dove onto his own son, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And sometimes we use that word pride and somehow it isolates ourselves, us versus them. My pride keeps me, means I'm better than you. And the Bible in 1 Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Pride says, I'm better. Pride says, I deserve more. Humility says, I'm not better. Humility says, it acknowledges the awesomeness of God, and it acknowledges that I'm not better than anybody else. That boasting, that pride, comes from sin. And blasphemers, to injure God's name. And I read this list and I get convicted. I don't take God's name in vain. I'm not a blasphemer. But how do I live my life? If I go around telling people I'm a Christian, I took Jesus' name and I put it on my life. If I go around and say I'm a Christian and then I don't act like one, that's a form of taking God's name in vain, because I'm false advertising, as we've talked about before. I'm misrepresenting the name that I've claimed for my own. I'm blaspheming when I do that, to injure the name of God. When I tell somebody who I represent and I don't represent them well, to hold back his work, to begin to speak for God when we haven't learned what God has said, to stand in his place, to blaspheme. I'll skip the next one. Disobedient to parents. No, disobedient to parents. All of us are guilty of this, and you read a list like this and you say, well, there's some really bad, nasty sins on this list. But all of us can think of a time when we were disobedient, or we understood what was desired by mom and dad, and we figured out a way to do something else. We talk about the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. And I'm trying to be behaved tonight, even though Pastor made fun of me this morning. I had a lot of comebacks, but I kept them all to myself because I'm trying to be on my best behavior. But disobedient. We know what mom and dad want, and then we figure out a way around that. And I have my own kids now, and dad, over and over again, when I was young, said, I hope you get somebody just like you when you become a father, and it has happened. His prayers have come true. But disobedient to parents, and again, it's mentioned all the time, but if a mom or dad has instilled a godly principle in you, it shouldn't be your goal to figure out how to get around that. You know, I always argue back and forth about, the Bible says, children, obey your parents. Well, that's simple. I teach children's church, so once somebody gets out of the children's church, then that doesn't apply. You know, we take make that excuse and say, well, I'm not a child anymore. But the Bible does command us to honor our parents, honor thy father and thy mother. And it should not be our desire to say, how can I find the loophole? How can I work around how I used to obey mom and dad? And we injure ourselves, we injure the cause of Christ when we start looking for the out instead of saying, how can I align myself? How can I make it clear to those around me that I still stand by the principles that mom and dad taught me, instead of trying to prove my own independence and say I'm my own person? Unthankful. Again, we go through this list because I don't want to be on this list. We're coming to a time of Thanksgiving, and I don't want to be unthankful. But thankfulness is, I don't know what was said this morning. I always feel bad about preaching Sunday night after Sunday morning because I don't know what Pastor preached about. But anyway, thankfulness is not a past tense thing. I was thankful, but I can't be thankful now unless I am thanking God now. Thankfulness is not something that just you were, and that you, since you were at one time, then you always are. Thankfulness is something that, just like bathing and brushing our teeth and keeping ourselves clean, it's something that has to be done on a regular basis. Thankfulness is something that if I haven't expressed it in a while, I should make sure that I express it again. People that don't find the time to give thanks fall into this definition, because thankfulness, in part of what it means, it's the expression. It's not just the internal feeling, but it's saying, hey, it's acknowledging it and going to another person and thanking them and being grateful, showing gratitude. Avoid the thought, and I'm guilty of this. Avoid thinking, well, what has that person done for me lately? I know how they used to feel, but what have they done for me in the last few days? What have they done for me lately? And we become unthankful. We think that because people get busy, or we think that people haven't spoken to us, or we think that because something small has happened that we no longer have to be thankful. But it's a continual process. It's a thing that we have to continually do, to say, I'm a thankful person. That means that I was thankful today. I showed gratitude today. I want to be that kind of child. I want to be that kind of brother in the family of God. I want to be someone that's not on this list, that is thankful. The next one, unholy. No difference between what's good and what's bad. No difference, showing no difference between what is right and what is wrong. The word holy means to be to set apart. And a person on this list would make no difference. There wouldn't be any separation. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference in their life between what was holy and what was unholy. Without natural affection. Affection from a parent toward a child. Children toward their parents. And again, we're reading about the the last days, perilous times shall come. And we see it all around us. The the parent that does that decides they don't want a child, so they get rid of they kill the child. The children that lie to their parents, the children that are dishonest, the children that try to separate and they don't want to be like mom and dad, they don't want to be around mom and dad. Dishonesty, lying, manipulating to get what you want without natural affection, the thing that should come naturally, what we call common sense. That everybody says nobody has common sense anymore, but in the end times, in the last days, it'll be all around us, and it is. Church members toward other church members. When we have an offense, how do we handle it? Do we go one-on-one, or does it turn into an underbelly of bitterness? You know, how do we handle it without natural affection? It was saying, this person's my brother in Christ. This person's my sister in Christ. And sometimes, again, you think about your family. I can't wait one day. I'm going to get out of this house. I never said this. But you think about your family saying, I want this situation to change. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, if you think about it, if you have an issue with a brother or a sister in Christ here on earth, and Pastor said it before, Jesus has a sense of humor. He might put your mansions right together when you get to heaven. So you might as well handle it now here on earth till before you get to heaven. They're still your brother and your sister in Christ. And sometimes we put our own wants and desires ahead of others. Truce breakers. This kind of falls into the other categories, but truce, people that don't keep their word. False accusers. Not telling the truth. Telling the absence of truth, or telling truth mixed with lies. Incontinent, without self-control. Fierce, always ready to fight. And we say many times that, you know, Christians in the battle, we have too much friendly fire. You know, I'm guilty. I don't try to attack other Christians, but I'm guilty of watching other people attack each other. And sometimes you read a comment or read two preachers attacking each other, or they get in a fight over something. They had a misunderstanding, and neither one of them knows what they're angry about anymore. It's sad. It's kind of funny too. You know, it's sad to think that Christians fight that way. And a lot of times they fight over something that they agree on. They don't even know that they agree with it. But Christians are that way. People are that way. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Hostile to virtue. Opposed to a person who seeks to do good. And again, I don't think any of us want to be on this list. But all of us might, from time to time, we might get cynical. We might get critical and say, you know what? I wonder why that person's doing that thing. You know, they say they want to help people and they want to be good. But I question their motives. And I don't believe that's my place, but sometimes I do that. Sometimes I look at people and say, well, I wonder why they did that way. I wonder why they made that decision. And we start to, the Bible talks about despising them, but we start to question them. That leads to criticism. It leads to being cynical and always trying to see the behind the scenes, always trying to see what the true motive behind people are. A lot of times I think people get angry over something because they think that their person that they're angry at is a much deeper thinker than they are. Like, oh, they've worked this scheme, and you know they've been planning this for months, and they got it all planned out. And whenever someone comes to me, you know, saying I've been that way, I said you've attributed a level of scheming and conniving to me that I'm not able to do. I don't have that long attention span to work as hard as you think I have to hurt you. And a lot of times as Christians, we look at one another and we think that somebody is out to get us or out to hurt us. And to be honest, a lot of times it's just that we don't pray for one another. We don't lift each other up in prayer. And we think somebody's trying to hurt us when really we haven't spent enough time thinking about them and praying for them. Traitors. Somebody that surrenders to the enemy. Heady. Rash. Acting on a reflex and an impulse. And instead of living by godly principles. I like people that ask questions and they go to the Word of God and they say, you know what, I always thought this was true, but I read this passage in God's Word and I want to make sure that what I've always thought was true is true and it's based on the Word of God. And the people that say, I'm not going to be rash, I'm not going to be quick out of reflex and say something I've always heard and not have Bible, have Scripture to back it up. High-minded. To lift up with pride. We talked about pride already, but to make ourselves appear better than those around us. To belittle others. To tear somebody else down so we feel better about ourselves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Talks about a choice. A choice of the right priorities. The contrast between loving God and knowing that it's not always pleasant to follow God. It's not always pleasant to do what is right. Moses said there's pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible commands us that we avoid youthful lusts. The Bible tells us that we should desire to be corrected, but that it might not always feel good to be corrected. You know, the pruning that it talks about. The Bible talks about being tried in the fire and the pruning and the correction that we should undergo. It's not something that should always feel good. It's not something that we should always look forward to, but it's something that we need. And again, I don't want to be on this list, but sometimes I am on this list. Sometimes I am unthankful. Sometimes I have been disobedient. Sometimes I've caught myself thinking someone's scheming against me, and I'm ready to fight over something that we probably agree on that I should just know better. And again, as we talk about Thanksgiving, sometimes I am unthankful because I haven't expressed that thankfulness in a long time. I want to talk to you tonight about that last verse that we read, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Sometimes when we get to a place in our life, we have the representation of the good, but we don't have the power of the good. The truth about God's power is that it is available to all of us. That the only way that it's not available is if we get in the way of that. I'm thinking about a light switch. Any light switch can stop power from flowing. You can go to the hardware store and buy a 50-cent light switch, or you can buy a $300 timer, or you know, all kinds of, or probably more expensive than that. You can buy a very expensive switch or a very cheap switch, but either of those are going to interrupt the power. Either of those are going to turn off the power. And in this list we read, you can have a complicated, expensive sin, or you can have a real simple, uncomplicated sin, but either one of those are going to interrupt the power. It's not going to matter. If the power is not there, it doesn't matter if it's a 50-cent switch or a $1,000 switch that's turned off the power. And in the book of Mark, Jesus talked about people's traditions. It says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. In Galatians, Paul said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Two examples of tradition and following the law instead of trusting in the grace of God. Things where there's nothing wrong with the power of Christ, but there is something in the way of it. There's a messed up belief. There's a sin in the way. There's traditions that aren't based on God's word. It's in the way. It's interrupting the power. It doesn't matter the level of the sin. It doesn't matter the depth of depravity. It's still the form without the power. It's still the form of godliness, but it's denying the power. So any division is a works. It doesn't have to be a big complicated one, but any division, just being unthankful, can break the power as much as one of the worst sins on the list. The problem is not the power source. The problem is not the Word of God. And we talk about it, we remind ourselves all the time, but the problem is not with God's Word. God didn't get surprised when God woke up this morning, if he needed to go to sleep. But when God woke up, he didn't say, well, I didn't see that coming. And nothing ever occurred to God. It didn't just blow his mind what's happened in the last few weeks or what's happened in the last few years. God knows what's happening. like Lydia sang this morning about, sometimes we wish that God would come quicker, or we wish that God would take care of it quicker. But there's nothing wrong with the source of the power. God has provided what we need for this day because we're still here, and God has preserved his word for us. God has given us what we need, and God gives us the power that we need. And we are in charge of making sure it gets where it needs to go. We're the light of the world. We are in charge of sharing it with other people. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And God didn't answer his question. He didn't say, Moses, you were raised with royalty. You're my special leader. He didn't give him an answer. God said, I am that I am. God answered another question. He didn't answer Moses' question and tell him who he was. God said, let me tell you who I am. God said, I'll tell you who God is. I am that I am, sent you. When you go to Pharaoh, tell him, I am, sent you. The problem isn't us as people. It's not, the problem isn't in the power. It can be us if we're not careful. In Matthew 23, Jesus reprimanded the Pharisees about making the outside of the cup clean and not worried about the inside. And he gave them the solution. He said, first make the inside clean, and first cleanse that which is within, and that the outside may be clean also. And he gave, whether or not they took his advice, we can take his advice. Whether or not the people around Christ while he was here on earth listened to him all the time, many times they did not listen, but we still have his words, and we can say, you know what, I got some stuff on the inside that needs to get cleaned up. Maybe the Pharisees never got it, but I have some things I need to clean up. Dressing up the form that has no power is not going to bring power. Dressing it up, trying to make the outside clean, isn't going to bring power. The problem is an unwillingness to trust God, to obey God, to confront or face the issue, and to remove what divides us, to remove the interruption. And as Christians, I think many times I know this is true. We have the power, we have the ability to do what God wants us to do, to get salvation to someone that needs it, and we let some tiny thing come between us and the power, not the power that comes from us, but the power that comes from God, to share it with others. I don't want it to be said of me that I was on this list, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't want it to be said, you know, it's the end times. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always trying to blame somebody else for our problems and say, you know what, church doesn't work for me anymore. I'm not getting a blessing from my Bible reading, my prayer time. To blame God for the lack of power. To blame God's word for the lack of power. And I was going to read to you the Great Commission. I love familiar verses, but I like the verses that come right before it and right after it sometime, because it reminds us of it really happened. Jesus was really there. In Matthew 28, the verse before the Great Commission, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And many times Jesus said, you know, I came to do the work of the Father. I'm only doing what God sent me here to do. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." Christ has power. All power is given unto Christ in heaven and in earth. That same power, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The end of the world. In the end days, perilous times shall come. Even unto the end of the world, perilous times shall come. The end of days will come. There does need to be a preparation. But at the end of the world, the one that has all power in heaven and in earth is with us always. We have that power. It is available to us. It is still ours to use. It's still our commission. I think Brother Ray, when he prayed this morning, when we dismissed, he prayed to use that word, our obligation. Now I'll close with this. We're going to get on a little bit early tonight. But you talk about obligation. And before I was a father, I thought about that word, obligation. That was something you had to be there for. That was an assignment. That was part of your job. It was part of your requirements. You know, it kind of gets a negative connotation, obligated. I have to be there. I have to show up. But it's changed for me. It's changed for me as someone that's responsible for people, someone that's responsible for a family. I'm obligated. It's no longer because I have to. It's because I love these people. I'm obligated to them. It's because I have a responsibility, and it's not a bad responsibility. It's not an unfair responsibility. It's the responsibility that God has given to me. I'm obligated. I have an obligation. "Unto whomsoever much has been given, of him shall much more be required." We have been given the power of Jesus Christ, all power in heaven and in earth, and he's with us. He's with us even unto the end of the world. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Let's not have the form without the power. Let's not tell people we're a Christian and not be able to get them plugged into the source of the power. We have an obligation. We have a commission. We have a command. And it's out of love. It's out of for those that we should love and care about, as I heard the end of the message this morning, as those that we should love and care about. And as if God has given us a burden for those around us, for those farther away from us, if there's something we can do to help them, we have an obligation. Because the power has been given to us, it's our responsibility to pass it on to someone else. We're going to have a word of prayer tonight. I gave this to you because I was convicted by it. I thought about Thanksgiving and being unthankful, and there's some people I need to express my thanks to tonight. There's some things that I need to get right on the inside. If the Pharisees didn't listen, I can still listen to the words of Christ and say, you know what, I don't want to have the form without the power. I don't want to have the outside be clean, but the inside be not what it should be. And I want to get that right tonight. I want to give you the same opportunity that I need to realize that the power comes from Christ, that we need to share it, and we're obligated out of love to share it with those that have not yet received it. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the light that each of us have, the little light that you've given us, that we can let it shine. Thank you that it's not the devil that blows it out. It's us when we stop and listen to his lies. We stop and see ourselves in pride. We look at ourselves and say, I don't need to express my thanks to other people. I don't need to be thankful. I don't need to be obedient. I don't need to be humble. And we blow the light out. We say, I'm not going to let it shine. We have the form without the power, and help forgive us, Lord. I pray you forgive me where I failed you. I pray you get us right tonight. Help us realize the great responsibility, the great obligation, the great command that you left us with. Help it not be wasted on us. Help us not waste the name Christian. Help us not waste the family of God. Help us to share it with those that need it, and leave here with a burden for those that need it, those that need it desperately in the end times, in the perilous times that we live in. Help us to realize you're always with us. I pray you bless this time of invitation. Thank you for Thanksgiving. Help us to use it to its full advantage this week. And I pray you bless all that goes on. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.